Log Talk Radio.
Said he's been sober. God, it's been so good.
Ooh, hey. Ain't good enough. Hey. Better than good to me.
God has had my back in the midst of my enemies, and I ain't even have to be there. I have roamed many cities, free and not very many, for God took care of me and my children. I'm so connected to the air that I breathe, the ocean and the sea,
the mountains, the sky.
I'm gonna get everything that belongs to me.
Good,
just it's
good,
so good.
Good.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to our Metroplex Buzz this evening. I'm Verna Thomas Melton, director and founder of the Verna Scott Foundation organization. And I want to thank you for just tuning in to us tonight and listening in online as well as call-ins. And on last Thursday, we had a good discussion. I think we went over a little bit. So we had to come back tonight with a part two. We have quite a few emails and of people who wanted me to continue with the book, and I think we ran out of time. But tonight, I'm going to try to do a final of this book. When I talk about this book, I'm talking about my book, my first book that I wrote, which is a autobiography of my life history, the 40 years that I've been in Dallas. Well, really, the 40 years I've been volunteering in Dallas. I've been in Dallas longer than 40 years, but part two of this final book, of this final episode, rather, is My Power of Three. And if all of you all know and been texting and even knowing about asking me, how can you buy this book? So it's not on Amazon. No, it's not. So I want to let everybody know that we do not have it on Amazon yet, and I think we're going to put it on Kindle. But we have so many hard copies, and we wanted to make sure we got rid of most of them. So if you want a book, you can always order the book through Verna's Help Foundation by donating a donation of $20 and plus $5 handling fee. So for $25, we can send you this book just by leaving your mailing address and letting us know it's for, you need a free book. So again, I want everybody to know that you can always order the book online at the vernashepfoundation.org. And the cost is $25, and that's with your handling fee, the postage that we will have to send back to you. Also, and I want to let everybody know that's listening in online, you can call in at 563-999-3739 and just listen to us again here online. Or yes, you can call in and ask questions if you like. But I want to explain our final discussion in my Power 3. We explained by the introduction of some of the people and the reasons why we had them in our book. On the back of the book, so many of you have asked me, what did it mean? Well, when I talk about what if I not had my praying sisters, I talk about how sufficient God is and how he gave me sisters. And by me being the youngest sister, I was blessed. highly blessed and highly favored to have them in my life. And I'm 73 years old, and I have, they're all, nobody's here with me now. They're, all my siblings is deceased. But they left with me a legend of, a lot of information that I can live on, and also prayed for me when I needed them. So I had praying sisters in my family that made me grow into who I am today, who have helped me grow. Also, it said, what if I had never met the late Johnny H. Taylor, a recording artist and songwriter, would I still be in Dallas County residence today? Okay, Mr. Taylor was a very close friend of mine, and he and Mr. Cottrell, Dr. Shade, and Jack Beckman was the four who helped me start my business when after Dream. But because of the fact that I had been going through some domestic problems, and I had not met my husband today, Reverend Milton, I had not met him, but Mr. Taylor was my closest friend to help me get away from danger. And I was threatened to go back to Fort Worth. And he took up for me. He took up for me where the people would leave me alone. So that's the reason why I remained in Dallas, because I had people that took a care enough to stand up to people that I had been married to for 20 years. And I felt like my life was in danger sometimes. Then the third is say, what if I had won the Dallas City Council seat? I too may have committed a crime, not knowing how or not to receive gifts. In that statement, I talk about the many people that I knew that was had been on the Dallas City Council in different places besides the Dallas City Council who accepted gifts, and they only did what other politicians do today. They still do it. But somehow they may not account for it correctly or whatever, and they ended up in trouble. So would I if I had been on the city council, or if I had won that election when I did run. I probably would have done the same thing if I did not know or wasn't told the proper way to receive them. So God kept me. He helped me to be the way I am today. And I am, and I'm here today. So I wanted to explain that one, but it also states, what if I didn't have friends like the Coma J. Cottrell and Isabel Cottrell, entrepreneurs and founder of Proline Corporation? I would not have known what my dream meant about graphics. In this book, you're going to have to read, you have to buy the book and read a lot about this, because it tells a lot about how I started my business in graphics. The next is says, what if I never knew Dwayne and Pat Carraway in 1989? Would I be married today? Okay, that's the last what if. And that reason is because in 1987 and 88, I was the neighbors of Dwayne and Pat Carraway. I was in the neighborhood, and they would always be like, they was always like family to me. If I needed a way to work, or maybe not gotten enough money from the job that I was working on as a sheriff, I was working in law enforcement then with the sheriff's department. So I always had a little problems because I was going through my first divorce. And Pat and Dwayne Carraway was always there for me to make sure that I had plenty of food, a lunch to take to work if I, you know, needed it. And just like a big sister and big brother. But then one day when he had to go to Pylon Seldmanship Club, he and Mr. Backus was having in South Dallas, he needed a secretary. And that particular day, I was off, and I told him, well, I will go and take notes for you and Mr. Backus. So I went to the it's the Spalding Club, Salesmanship Club, or something like that they had over in South Dallas. And I met a young man by the name of Arthur Ray Milton that was there with some more friends of Dwayne's and who knew him from Houston. So that's how I met my husband, through Dwayne's meeting that he had asked me to come. So after that meeting, my husband and I today, we were the best of friends after that, and we got married in 1989. So I have been with my husband today for 34 years. And I think that I appreciate what Pat and Dwayne done for me. And we've been friends ever since. So in this book, it's a lot here, but you're going to have to read to buy the book to read it more, to get more detail about what's going on and how it went on and how it all happened. So I want to talk about that a little bit. But I also want to say to you all that this book talks about a lot about what God means to me and how he has brought me, kept me, and has been in my life. Because as I just said before, I'm not from Dallas. I was from Fort Worth. I've been in Dallas most of all of my life, though, but born and raised in Fort Worth and being the youngest girl of the family, I was the only one in my family that carried a yellow jaundice that my father had caught in World War II. And in having that rheumatic fever, they called it back then, I was diagnosed with heart problems at an early age. And surely enough, the doctors had told my mom that when I got 50 years old, I possibly would probably have to have heart surgery. And surely enough, in 1999, I had to have my first heart surgery, open heart surgery. But God is good. God is so good. So I want to first thank everybody who has helped me down through my life, through the Judy Locke Community Center, as well as the Verner's Health Foundation. Some of the same people that helped me then is helping me today. I'm very thankful to my five living legends that's that I give accolades to, that's in the front of this book, that's at the beginning of my book. And I also just want to talk about how much God has done in my life, because as I talk about my life in this book, I talk about how I had this dream. And in looking up dreams, I wanted to remind you, as well as I reminded myself. For instance, in Genesis 37:5-10, God gave Joseph a day talking about what he would do. And surely enough, he did. And he, because of the sleep and the vision that they had. And it was also in the book of Daniel 2, he talks about dreams and how the angel came to them three times. So it's in the Bible that God reveals things through our dreams. And when I keep saying that, I wanted you all to know that on page 120 of my book, I talk about some people in my life and how we started my business. When I say my, it was my dream, but it's our business. It's my husband and my family business. But I dreamt I was in the store, walking through the store, and when God spoke to me, and when he spoke to me, I heard him speak, because I was always praying for a change in my life. And surely enough, when I had the dream, I did not know what he meant. So today I wrote this book about it, and I want you all to get the book. So I don't want to tell you the whole thing about the book, but in this dream, I've had four people that cared enough to come out and meet with me And Mr. Cottrell and Isabel Cottrell invited them to their conference room. And these four people sat down, and none of them laughed at me about a dream. They listened, and they understood what I was trying to tell them. And surely enough, we started the Verna's Ventures business. Verna's Ventures was covering the packaging, because when I first had the dream, God showed me packaging. Everything in the grocery store was graphics. My dream was of graphics. And I looked around, and everything I saw had graphics on there. Graphics is nothing but print, colored print, different designs. So I had no idea, but I thought that maybe Mr. Cottrell, because he had a Proline, he had the business Proline, he could help me, and surely enough that he did. So we started out with one factory, and today we have about 25 factories where it works for us now. So if I tell you that God, when he moves and give you the best. I had a incident that happened during the pandemic, and when the government shut down, I sold, and I still sell to the government. I am a government vendor, and being a government vendor, I get set-asides of what I can do in my business. So I have to be on my P's and Q's and watch for the RFQs, which is request for quote. And if it's a set-aside, I can contact one of my manufacturers and see, can we do it? And then if we can do it, then we bid on that and get the work. And I have to tell you that it's been awfully, awfully good. So when the pandemic hit, when the government shut down, we shut down. And it got a little bad, got a little tight, and things started happening. And three times I received calls from a person who wanted to buy our business. And I didn't want to sell, because I knew that business is what God gave me. I didn't want to sell that. So I had a talk with God, and we talked about, I prayed about, and asked him, what should I do? Because I knew we was, the pandemic had shut us down. So what happened is that the Lord showed me that he gave me graphics. He did not give me Verna's Ventures. He told me graphics. So I had two sides of this business, so I sold Verna's Ventures. And Verna's Ventures is no longer our business, but VM Graphic Packaging is my business. So not only do I do work for the Verna's Health Foundation, but I do work for myself. We are a woman-owned business, woman-owned small business here in Garland. And we sell to the government. We sell government products. We don't sell service. We sell products. But because of God has been so good to me, I have to try to do workshops to help other people learn what God has given me. The gift that he gave me, I'm not going to be selfish and not share it. I have to tell everybody about how to do business and how to help them better their living by doing a business for themselves. If a person is in TDC and they know how to cut hair or braid hair, they know the same thing when they get out. If they can't find a job, they can always go into business for themselves with a beauty shop or a barbershop. The same thing about a cleaner. If you know how to clean clothes in prison, I tell people all the time that's coming out of prison, you know how to do, you know, you can do cleaning work here. If you don't want to do that, then open up your own cleaners and learn how to have your business for yourself. So not only do we teach them through Verna's Health Foundation how to do business with the government, but we teach them how to create a business for themselves. We try to teach them or show them where they possibly can get funding, microloans, or collaborate with a company or business that may have a grant. So we're about helping people and to live live better. And I want to, before I forget this, is let people know that Verna's Health Foundation is a community incubator for with a volunteer staff and board. Nobody there gets paid to do anything. We do it voluntarily. We have always done that since the Judy Locke Community Center. So I guess because of my my past, I haven't really looked for a salary because I always had a means of income. But today, if we will continue as much as we can in the community, we do need a paid staff or we need help sometimes. So we do have, we try to get people rather to help us with our nonprofit, organization as well as our annual fundraiser. Our annual fundraiser is our Living Legend Banquet, and we normally have that at the Royal Oaks Country Club. This year, we did not because of my health issues. And when I tell you that I've had some health issues for this year. But next year, we will have our Living Legend Banquet again. So we're getting ready for that. But I want to, at this time, kind of give you some announcements, because besides what we're going to be doing next year, this year we have I have notices here from Fred Walker, who is going to be doing a breakfast on this Saturday on Saturday, May the 20th at 10 o'clock with speaker Dr. Jones, and they're celebrating the Joanna's Veterans Camp. And that will be the regular breakfast meeting. And that's Houston School Road, but he's told me this is called something else over there now. But it's right there on the corner of Old Houston School Road and Camp Wisdom, right across from the college. And it's called the Joanna's Veterans Camp. That's Saturday, May the 20th at 10 o'clock a.m. And also for the Juneteenth, activities at the Morning Berry Ranch Farm on June 17th, 2023. I want you all to get ready for that, because that's going to be starting at 12 noon, and that's at 9455 Lancaster in Hutchins, Texas. This is a free event with food. I don't think the food is going to be free. It may be, but the event is free to get in, with games and vendors and live music. So I hope you all look forward to coming to that. I know I do. And I want all the vendors to know, if you want to be a vendor there, you need to contact them as soon as possible. So you can either contact Linda Henderson or Jody Berry. So that's one of the announcements that I had to do too. And I wanted to do a little shout out to Dr. Booker Drew, because I had just came off of a Zoom roll call meeting with her and some fantastic, wonderful people that I've just met that's right here in the Dallas area, who is also have a nonprofit organization. So I want to do a shout out to them also, because I enjoyed the Zoom with them. I learned a lot. I hope that we can work together and help each other. It's all about helping one another. And very, very spiritual a group of people, and I just think that we can make changes. So those are mostly the three announcements that I have. I do have another Juneteenth. I don't have all the details about that one yet, and hopefully we can get that in by next week. And I just want to let everybody know, if you do need to call in, I see a lot of people has called in, but they have not pushed the number one. So our telephone number again is 563-999-3739. And if you have anything to say or questions to ask, just hit the number one so I can know that you're there and want to say something. I do have one listener that's wanting to say something now, and I'm going to go to that person and take that call. Okay, you're live, sir, 2073. That's four numbers, 2073. Hello?
Yes, I was driving and wasn't able to write down the information you said, but how do you buy the book? How do you buy the book? Very good information, very good information. But
okay,
I'm trying to figure out how to buy the book, and I like the history of Dallas that you cover in the book, and I just want to read more upon it.
Okay. The book, you can get the book again at vernushelpfoundation.org. That's the vernushelpfoundation.org. And we're not selling the book, we are asking for donations. So for a donation of $20 or more, we will give you the book for free, but you have to also include $5 for the postage. So it's for the minimum amount of $25. And we will send you a book for free. Okay?
Okay,
so just contact the vernushelpfoundation.org. And this book is really, I think it was my first book, but I'm very thankful of this, of the Lord guiding me to write this book. And it's a spiritual book about my life. It talks about my surgeries, my heart surgery, and the reason for life. I explained in my introduction in this book about that some people come into your life for a reason. Some people come into your life for a season. And some come into your life for a lifetime. The book is an autobiography, but it talks about my life from birth, high school, and to moving to Dallas. And on page 51, it talks about the John F. Kennedy being the youngest president and the first Catholic to become president, along with pictures to show he and his family and the death of John F. Kennedy. A lot of young readers today don't know that history. I dedicate that book to my family and my nieces and nephews, because I have 23 nieces and nephews and about 43 plus great nieces and nephews and so many great, who will never know how their grandmother, their great-grandmother looked, or a picture of their great-grandfather. So pictures of my mom and my dad and some of my members of my family is in this book. Also, it talks about the march on Selma, Alabama, and Montgomery, the capital, with educational information and also pictures that they can see. And again, it talks about my life here in Dallas, learning what I had to go through at a young age. And I got married at age 19, but it was only God knew the things that were to come. And as I stated before, just like in John 16, it tells me about what to look for, what to expect. And I didn't know a lot at age 19, so I had mentors that I clinged to. My friends was not my age. My friends was old enough to be my auntie or my dad and my mom. So I end up having a situation while learning that my son was being misplaced and misused in the DIST schools. So I had to confront that. And I ended up meeting a lady by the name of Judy Lott, owner of Lott's Film Home at the time, her and her husband, Frank Lott. And then she introduced me to Lovey and Al Lipscomb and Dr. Ray Mason, Dean Haskell, Dean and Haskell Royal, Olga Mae Raven, Gloria and James Hoag, Elsie Faye Higgins, J.B. Jackson, people that was in the community working on projects that I never knew. So when I learned about the problem, I immediately got on top of that, and we had to eject my son out of the program when we learned that they had misplaced my son for a year almost. And they had forged my name to put him into the program. So we talk about that in this book, but also the young man who was, we had to bring to Dallas, his name was by the name of Dr. Alan Sullivan. Dr. Alan Sullivan also wrote my foreword in this book, and he talks about everything that he was subjected to because we was outright parents. We was angry about what was going on with our children. Some of the people ended up dropping off by the wayside. Some even died due to the challenges that we had to go through. So I want to say that in this book, there is a proclamation from Jack Evans after we found out all the documentation that we had tried to produce was true. And they admitted, the superintendent had to admit that they had misplaced 5,000 students in this program. So my son by that time was in private school, but it was a it was so bad till we was one of the plaintiffs in the segregation case. We had to go to court a lot. So all of that's in this book. It talks about it in this book, but when I learned how stress can actually make one sick, and it did. My friend Judy, she ended up with cancer, some type of ulcers in her stomach, and she ended up dying. So because of she was so close to me and helped me so much, I named that center after her death. I named the center Judy Locke Community Center after her. And that center existed for a long, long time. And some of you probably heard me last week talk about how Al Lipscomb and I ran that community center for free without any monies. The money, only thing that we was able to get is was probably what people would donate to us or come by and maybe give us or whatever. Very, very, very little. But I did have a husband who, at that time, and Mr. Lipscomb had a wife. And his wife was a nurse. My husband was a good husband, and he worked hard for us. So we was okay. But being a volunteer for so long, it has given me the, I don't want to give it up. And that's why I continue to do it today. But we've made such a change, volunteering your time and doing what we did. We was advocates for change. We had to do what we did, and we did change things. That community center ended up being one of the first to document for I'm saying it again, and I hope people will hear this and understand. I don't need to be bragging, but because it was hard work. But Mr. Lipscomb introduced me to some of the most powerful people in Dallas, he and Judy. And to learn all of his friends who was included, Mr. Jack Evans and Buddy Minyards. From those two men, I learned a lot about how they knew him. And doing that, we ended up with an opportunity from the Department of Agriculture, because Jim Maddox was also his friend. He was a congressman in Washington, D.C. And Mr. Evans then was having meetings over there off of Inwood Road in the Galleria area, where Column Companies were. And in their, in their room, their chambers where they met, they allowed us to come and talk about the cheese and butter program that we were having there at the Judy Locke Community Center. And they was trying to create a food bank. So they needed us to document the hunger need in Dallas. And that's what we was able to do, was document for them the need. And they were able to actually make a law for other groceries owners to help them, to join them with the the food bank. So me and Al Lipscomb, for 2 years, we gave away free cheese and butter to the community. And we have newspaper clippings of that from South Dallas to Fort Worth, Texas. We gave out free cheese and butter. Billy Joe Dupree was one of our board members. He was our president of our board. But a lot of the people that are on our board today, and I did tell you all that last week, some of the names, but I also did not tell you that Sim Stokes and Dwayne Dancer, Dean Royal, was on our board as well. These people are still alive today, as well as John Wally Price and Kathy Neely, Betty Colbert. That's the only six that I can actually think of at this time. It may be more. But a lot of our members has dead and gone, but Mr. Minrich was one of them. So was the name of the, her name was Carolyn Taylor. Carolyn Taylor was Stark Taylor's wife. She was the RN. She was a nurse. And I'll never forget all what she did for us. Mrs. Annette Strauss was one of our board members. So was Fred Meyer. And when we gave away our cheese and butter, they was there to help. I never will forget Stark Taylor and his wife gave us the air conditioning that we needed for the house that we had. And it was, I guess, the next year or maybe the same year that we was confronted with a family that we had to help that was living on the streets in South Dallas. Mr. Lipscomb was, boy, he knew everything. He knew so much about Dallas. He knew the lady at the YMCA and everything. And he was so angry when we brought that family to our organization, to the house. But nobody wanted to help us, not even the people in the community wanted to help that family. We had to go on TV to try to get some help. When we did, the family was shown in newspaper clippings and on a TV reel. And so many people heard about the family, they wanted to come out and help. So we was going to try to build a duplex on the back of the house that we had because nobody in Dallas had a emergency shelter. There was no shelter in Dallas. So that particular documentation was why Stark Taylor and his wife and Annette Strauss was able to implement the homeless shelters that we have today. And I thank God for that. So sometimes when I tell you that God put people in your life for a reason, he put you here for a reason, believe it. You're not here just to be here. You're here to be used. You're here not to be misused, but to be used some type of way. So I tell people and my niece and nephew, let God use you because you don't never know who you will be helping. And I tell people all the time, they say that we didn't do all of this. Well, if you buy my book, and I'm telling you, if you get this book, you're going to see the newspaper clippings in here for yourself. The family that we had to help, we had some very powerful board members, and they wanted to help this family, but they did not want that family in that building because by them being on our board, it made all of us liable if anything should happen to that family. But when they knew that there was no place to go, and Ned Strauss at that time was mayor pro tem, and Mayor Stark Taylor was Carolyn Taylor's husband. So he knew firsthand what we was going through. So they got together and they founded the Austin Street Shelter that exists today. Because if that family had stayed there in that community center, we could have been liable if anything should happen to them. But they also raised enough funds for this family to have their apartment rent paid up for 6 months. They furnished it out for the family and everything, bought them clothes to get them started in school. So that's how our board members helped us. Not so much that they had to help me and Al, but help what we did to fund the money that we needed. And they was there for that. After that, when Stark Taylor left, And Stark Taylor also, I believe he was the one that appointed the first black city manager. His name was Richard Knight. He was appointed under the Stark Taylor era at the time. We never had a black city manager until Stark Taylor hired and they appointed Richard Knight. Levi Davis was the other assistant city manager who now still exists. And Levi is alive today, and he's on our board. So he was, after Stark Taylor, then Mrs. Annette Strauss became mayor. And he was her, he worked with Annette Strauss as assistant city manager. So these people, some of these folks are still alive today. I know Dwayne Dancer and Sim Stokes, they are very much alive. And we have pictures of Dwayne Dancer, them on our porch. We used to always do back-to-school events. Mr. Cottrell and Isabel always funded some of the things that we did in the community. They funded the Juneteenth celebration. They funded our back-to-school with the OJs. We had the OJs here in Dallas, and we took them around to the schools. The OJs and Isabel, I think, was from the same hometown. So they were in town for us. Some of the movie stars came in town, Roger Mosley, and quite a few came in for our Juneteenth celebration. And on the Juneteenth celebration, Tom Joyner was still at KKDA and K104. And the first year we did that, we brought together 20,000 people, 20,000, promoting love, talking about the love of God, talking about the love of the loving one another. And we did that in the community, and 20,000 people came together at Keys Park. That's the first year. And we did that I think 2 or 3 years after that. But we revived Juneteenth because Juneteenth in Dallas was dead. So when I talk about my book, it talks about a lot of what some of the things that I did with my friends. I didn't do all of this by myself. They have my name in the paper, but I didn't do it all by myself. I have to give Mr. Lipson and our board members credit for being there with me, supporting me all that time. And they still support me today. A lot of them still support me right today with the Verner's Health Foundation. So I'm very thankful to that. And in this book, I talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that talks about some of the things that I went through before marrying my husband today. But it also have in here the marriage, about my marriage to Reverend Milton, our pictures of our wedding, and the people that was in our wedding. So it also, I don't know if it talks about how a governor, Clemens, Bill Clemens he was not at our wedding, but he wanted to be, so he sent us information and letters of congratulations. So that could be in the book too as well. But after my husband and I was married for a while, I started getting appointments from, so I was appointed to the SBA district advisory board by Ronald Reagan in 1981. And later on, I was appointed by George Bush to the tri-ethnic committee down in Austin. He was the governor then. In 1998, I was removed from Oak Cliff to Garland. And I was diagnosed with my first heart problem. And everybody thought that my bowel was so tight that I was not going to live. So that was my first experience with the Holy Spirit and knowing that God works miracles. So not only is this book talking about my past, but it's talking about the love of the Lord and how he changed me, how he kept me, how he saved me, how he brought me through so much. And 1999, my aorta was stuck. They said it was stuck. And the doctor did not know why I was still walking around living. And So when I heard him tell another doctor that, he said, we need to take the, they need to get me in surgery right away. And I told the doctor, I said, right away. He said, yes. He said, you should have, we don't know how you still, in other words, how am I still alive with my aorta not even opening and closing like that. So I didn't feel that much pain, but sure enough, I went through that surgery. And in my book, I talk about how my sisters was praying sisters and how they was Church of God in Christ. They was Pentecostal young women, two of them were. And I never will forget how I could hear them when I had my surgery, all crying and hollering and going on, but they didn't know I was awake listening to them. And when my sister did look in my eyes and could see my eyes open, she just lit up the whole room, shouting all over the hospital. So I'm telling you this is because nobody thought I was going to live. That was the first heart surgery. So God help you us here for a reason. And I still enjoyed doing what I do, trying to help the community. And today I'm still doing that. So 2015, they called me in again and told me that I had to have another heart surgery. And I couldn't believe that. I said, what? They said, your valve is not working right. Your valve is getting stuck as well. So I've had one valve, mechanical valve. Now I got to have two mechanical valves, surely enough, yes. So I had to go back to surgery again and have another valve put in, mechanical valve. And surely enough, the surgery went very well. So I am blessed, so very blessed. And I have he's not my cardiologist, he's my Parnell. He's not a cardiologist, but he worked at Medical City Hospital. He's retired now. Dr. Parnell told me, he said, you are blessed. I've been a doctor for over 30 years, and I've never seen two people walk around with a mechanical valve. I told him, I said, well, I know I'm blessed. I feel it all the time. And when I wrote this book, it was because of the pandemic was going on, but I want to share with my family how when God speak to you, try to listen, try to ask him, talk with him. He will speak with you if you let him. Because when that pandemic was going on, I did not know that we was going to have this type of miracle. And when I say the power of three, because I've always been able to quote when I have big projects, I may quote them by the number three. But this particular time, I was not dreaming. I was actually working, trying to find work to do. And this lady called me, and I refused to talk to her because she wanted to buy my business. And it took three times for her to call me, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to listen to that lady. And I told her, I said, well, the pandemic will be over after a while, hopefully, and we can get back to work. And she said, well, you haven't made nothing all year, and we're trying to buy it. So I felt about that, and sure enough, because the Lord showed me that I don't have to want millions of dollars for the business. Just look at why do I need money? So I figured up every bill that I had, including house, car, everything. And when I talked with that lady again, she told me everything that I needed to hear. Even I will pay for you a lawyer, she said, if you don't have a lawyer. I said, I don't have a lawyer. And surely enough, that's what she did. So I pulled together one of my old friends by the name of attorney Mark Romney. Not Mark Romney, I'm sorry. His name is not Mark Romney. his it's Mr. Romney's cousin, but he's Attorney Romney. And I called him and asked him if he would help me with this, what I was doing. He's never had done this before, he said. So I told him, I said, well, it's not hard. It's just that this is what she wants me to, what she wants to give me. He said, well, are you satisfied with that? So I told him, I said, not really. I wanted more, but this is what I think we could, it's a fair price to what we need. So Mr. Romney, his name is R-O-M-N-E-Y, Romney, Mark Romney. And his office is over there where the sheriff's office is, off of Phil. I think it's up on Phil Street. But he told me, he said, okay. He took my case when I had three other attorneys wanted five times more money than he did. It was just a simple contract I wanted to have signed. So I allowed him to take my case, and surely enough, when he took the case, it was on 3/20/2020, 3/20s. And when I signed that contract, I looked at those 3/20s, and the Lord, he's just like, he was showing me, this is what I want you to do. Surely enough, he wanted, because he didn't want to see me stressed out. He didn't want to see me going through what I was going through because of this pandemic. So he don't give us the spirit of fear. He gives us strength. So that made me so much stronger to know that we was able to pay off everything that we owed. And I was able to start all over again by selling them one part of their business and keeping the other. So God, if I tell you that he made a way out of no way, he also helped me to learn about how to do business, how to have a business, how to run a business, because I did not know what I was going to, what that dream meant, or how I was going to start a business. So today, my promise to God is to help somebody else. I can't stop trying to help other people learn how to have a business, because I had help with me. Willie Rowe Heath, my classmate, me and him grew up together from 5 years old, from kindergarten. He and Don Babers, he's the late Don Babers, but he was over HUD. Willie Rowe was over GSA. I never thought I would work for the government. I always tried to get contracts with the state or with the school. And I did have some contracts with TI and big companies like that. But Willie Rowe, they taught me how to do business with the government and didn't charge me anything. So I try to do the same thing. I try to have workshops today and with GSA, SBA, and I let them know my story and the reason why I want to help so much. And they applaud me, and they come out for free. So we try to do as much as we can. We try to come to churches and have workshops. We try to have legal clinics. I learned about the legal clinics through my friend Barbara over there at Good Street, and surely enough, I have a team of lawyers now on our board that works with us all the time. We have a legal clinic. We have a legal aid facility now that's with us who actually want to come back to the community and help. So we do this for free because we do it because of the love of the Lord. And we just know that it's going to be okay. I don't know if you all have any questions or not for me, but I will welcome your questions if you have questions. And again, I want to let you know you can always call in at the 563-999-3739 number. Again, the number is 563-999-3739. So our board of directors today, I probably can't call them all out to you, but I know some of them is listening, and I am so proud of them. for being on our board, because they're there, and I do work them a lot. I worry them a lot. I email, text them every day or all the other day, and they don't get angry. But we try to have an event every year to raise monies, because in 2014, I wanted Greg Abbott, our governor, to make every school district carry clear backpacks, because even though no school had in Texas had been shut up like some of the schools that I have seen, but now it's happening. I mean, the one is happening today, but before it wasn't. And I had asked him to help me with TEA to get clear backpacks in all of the schools and the clear totes in the stadiums. So I had to go to Dwayne Carraway at the time, because Dwayne was on the board, I mean, was on the city council. And so Dwayne was the first politician to endorse our clear totes and backpacks. And I think Dallas City Council did adopt that for Fairport, Cotton Bowl, the first year. But because of the time span that we did it, they did not demand that Groundlin and the OU team have to have them that year. But it was 2014, and so the next year they did. So today, every stadium have to have it now. And some of the schools is having to have our clear backpacks. So what we do is, when we have our fundraisers at the Living Legends, we put that money to good use to buy backpacks and school supplies to help students who needs it, and helps families get vouchers for their children to buy school clothes. So that's the only fundraiser that we do have, and that's what we do for the community, the giveaways. But the other is I free clinics that we do with for business and legal clinics. So I am there for people who need us, but I want everybody to know God has given me a business, given us a business, my family a business, and we're all right. We're okay. And I am so thankful to what he does in our life each and every day. So, and how he helps me. And I want to do a shout out to all of my old board members and the people that's listening, Gloria Hogue's family that's listening, my friend, she was on our board, but they're deceased now. And I'm just happy that so many people contacted me, and I want to thank you all for contacting me last week to tell me that you wanted me to talk a little bit more about it this week. So, and I want to say a shout out to Bridget Moon. Bridget is one of my SBA people that works with the veterans. She was also at our last legal clinic, and just her stopping by allowed some of the veterans there to talk with her again. So we're going to come back with our business workshops with the SBA team. I don't know if it will be in the month of June or July, but we're going to try to continue to do that with these podcasts. And I want to thank my nephew, Seth Turner and Miguel Booker, for being my sponsor of this podcast. They helped me with that. So I thank my board members again for all what they do. So if there's anybody who have any type of questions, I'm still available for that. But if not, we're almost at the end of time. We have, I think, 1 minute before 9 o'clock, and I didn't think that I can talk a full hour, but I think I did. And I'm so happy that you all were tuning in today. So if you have questions for us, please give us send us an email at vernushelpfoundation.org, or either vmgraph@flash.net. That's my business email address. So, again, it's vmgraph@flash.net. If you can't remember that, just do vmilton5@gmail.com. Sometimes I forget my own email addresses, but it's vmgraph bmelton5@gmail.com. So if you need further information from us or what we're going to be doing, please give us a shout out and let us know. And again, I want to thank you all for coming in and being a part of our podcast, listening in, calling in, and just remember that I love you and God loves you more. And if you can, don't forget to order the book, My Power of Three, My Power in Three. And it's my first autobiography, my first book, but and I love it. And the cover was designed by my nephew, Miguel. Miguel is a graphic designer out of Florida. So I want to thank him, do a shout out to him for doing all of that. And to all my nieces and nephews, I want to let you know how much I appreciate Mother's Day. And I hope everybody enjoyed their Mother's Day like I did. I filled in for my sisters, who is no longer with us, but I enjoy their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren so much till we all come together. And I just thank God for them. So at this time, I want to let you know that we have one more minute, and I'm going to play a little music before we end and thank God for the audience that we had tonight, and look forward to talking with you all next Thursday. Next Thursday, I will be talking about Juneteenth, not only with my friend Linda Henderson and Jody Berry, but also my friend Mark Romney. He's also one of the state's leaders who his church is having a Juneteenth celebration. So hopefully we'll have those three people on talking about what they're doing for Juneteenth and the locations of their events. So again, thank you for listening in to our podcast. I hope I gave you enough information that you will be able to use. And if we can help you, just contact the Verna's Health Foundation and let us know. Thank you and good night. Thank you and good night.
For the soul that was lost.